Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. So today on Hustle, we're going to be speaking to Madam Electrophy. She is the alter ego of Breaks Electro DJ Little Joe. Joe has been on the decks around 17 years, playing some of the UK's leading venues, including Termills, Ministry of Sound. Most summers, you can also catch her playing sets across all kinds of festival stages at Glastonbury, Festival, Truefest, and Shindig, to name a few. She also presents her own stage at Boomtown and Beat Herder as an extension to her long-standing club promotion called Madam Electrophy's Discotheque. She has toured around Australia and France. She's been over to see me in France as well. Plus, alongside DJing, she hosts her monthly show for Data Transmission Radio and is a regular contributor to BBC Music Introducing. If that wasn't enough to keep her busy, Madam Electrophy is also one half of Evil Twin with Mini Daminx and a producer in electronic trip-hop trio Cassini Circles. Mate, how the devil are you?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, all things considered. Thanks so much for having me on. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's great to chat to you anyway. It's really interesting to hear your story of how you got into music. Plus, I've seen you've done loads of like live streams, twitching every week now. So really interested to find out what you've been up to, basically, in lockdown. So, please tell us, how did you get into music? What inspired you to kick this all off as DJ Little Joe?
Yeah, well, God, it feels quite crazy to think back at just how long ago it is now, because I realise I probably haven't updated my bio in a few years. So I think my bio probably says like 16 years or something, but it must be about 18 years now. I think I was like 21, 22, and I'm 40 this year. So yeah, that's maths. That checks out. But yeah, so I started DJing when I was about 21, 22. I was always into the culture, like not just as a raver, just that whole nerdiness, I guess, about DJing and about kind of collating music. Like I was always the one that was making the mixtapes on, you know, like using my little cassette player and recording off like the top 40 and stuff like that. I had an older cousin who was a DJ as well. So like even as a teenager, I was just into that culture and what it represented. Like, I remember buying my like Dreamscape tape packs when I was like 15, thinking I was like an absolute badass with all these old junglist like tape packs. So I think get started DJing. I actually ended up doing a course at college. So I went and did like a night course, which was a BTEC in music technology, and that's when I first bought my first set of decks, which were a pair of belt drive Newmarks, which are the worst things you could ever play on. They were so bad. And it just went from there, really. Yeah, so long time, 18 years in the game.
And don't they say there's quite a few people that learnt on those Newmark belt drives. You know, once you can play on them, mate, you can play on anything, can't you?
Oh, honestly, mate. Like the first time when I could afford a set of Technics, and I've still got the same Technics. I've got one 1200 and one 1210, and they've been with me since. But yeah, when you first actually get a proper direct drive turntable, you're just like, You just think you're Carl Cox all of a sudden. You're just like, what? I'm really sick at this. This is great. Because before that, you would have to like churn the record around like so much just to get it to go up to speed. So yeah, like old school days. But it was just always something I felt that was just part of me. I can't really pinpoint the time that when I was like, right, I'm going to be a DJ. It just always just seemed to naturally was the thing that was going to happen.
Yeah, just a rolling progression for you then, in which case.
Yeah, I think so. I think from going clubbing from a really young age, like, you know, I probably started going clubbing when I was 15. Like, I mean, I know this is a podcast and people can't see me, but anybody who knows what I look like, I only just about look like 17 now. Like, I'm such a tiny little, tiny person. And so how I got into all these clubs when I was 15, I don't know, because I must have looked about nine.
Honestly, I can't believe you're
going to be 40. Just go to raves. Sorry.
I was going to say, I can't believe you're going to be 40 this year. You literally look 12.
Yeah, in a couple of months, which is just mental. Hopefully not in lockdown, because if I have to have my 40th in lockdown, that's just going to be a travesty. As somebody who's been putting on parties professionally for a long time, it's got to be a big affair. So.
Honestly, I'm also 40 this year. What actual day is you? When are you?
October 22nd.
Oh, I'm May the 1st. So it's borderline. We were supposed to go to Croatia. That's obviously not going to happen. For a big, like, party.
Oh, mate, I know. Well, like, tell you what, like, if we don't get to do our 40th this year, we'll just do a big, massive tour next year.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Extended 40-year-old DJ.
Get back together in the Alps next year. Let's make that happen.
Yes, definitely. That's going to be a thing.
Oh, it's so funny. So what... So I know that you've played at Glastonbury. You have had sets at Glastonbury, which is very, very exciting. How did this all come about?
Yeah, so I've been heavily involved in the festival scene probably for about 12 years now. And it's always kind of been a progression from like the club nights and the fact that I've been a promoter as well. It's something I've kind of been asked about quite a lot before. But so I started throwing raves and putting on parties within like a year or two of learning how to DJ. I started putting on my own club nights. So I built up my Madame and Etchefee's discotheque club night and then started applying to run a few stages at festivals. And then just from there, just built this network, really. Just built this network of people who were working at festivals. And I always tried to leverage like my other skills as well as just DJing, because every young DJ starting out will know it's so competitive. You know, there are thousands of people after those, especially those really, you know, those warm-up slots where, you know, you're not going to be the big headliner, and it's hard to cut through all the noise with all that. So for me, it was always about the fact that I did other things as well as DJing. So I did stage production, we did set design, I did stage management. So I was able to leverage all the people I met through working in those behind the scenes areas of festivals. So not just turning up and expecting a set. And that's kind of, that's how it happened with Glastonbury. So I got asked to go and do some stage management. And then it was like, well, whilst I'm here, just squirrel myself three or four sets across the place. And then, and then obviously next thing you know, you played at Glastonbury. So I think that's definitely one of the big things. What I think one of the reasons I've done well is because I've leveraged all of those other skills as well. I've networked and I've been a stage manager and I've gone and helped other people run their stages. So there's always a bit of an exchange. And I think it's those people who bring that added value. I think especially in the festival circuit where it's so competitive, that's how the best way to break into it, I reckon.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And actually, the fact that you've just kind of you just said about helping other people, then they know you're reliable.
Yeah,
a huge thing, because I mean, I do the festival stage at Wilkstock, and I booked DJs to play, and a lot of them are up and coming DJs because it's a small festival, and I've been let down many a time by them because I've either been too mash up to play their set, and I'm like, I have done 6 months worth of marketing and social media and push it, and I've helped you, and you know, this is supposed to be your first festival gig, and you've got mash up, and you're not turned up.
Yeah,
you know, and one thing is that.
Yeah, they'll never get booked again. That's
never
the thing.
Again. And that's the thing, is that you're helping people that have come and helped on my stage last year are like, oh, I really want to be involved like behind the decks, as in to play next year. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Cool. Of course.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah. And I think that's the thing. I think, you know, people have this this kind of glossed over persona. I think especially the younger generation with like the Instagram fame and all of that, that's what DJ culture is about and that's what music culture is about. But actually, at the heart of it, particularly in the festival scene, it's a lot of people who graft really, really hard to do something that they're incredibly proud of. Yeah. And to get to watch your hard work and artistry create such a positive experience for somebody, that's just a bigger part of it, I think, as the whole idea of being up on a stage and getting a rider. And I think it's, yeah, that those different approaches. But I think unless you're going to be an amazing producer, if you want to succeed as a DJ, think about what are you bringing to the table other than just your music. You know, can you support people? Can you help the promotion? Can you work backstage? Can you do all those things? Because it's a network and it's a community, and those communities will look after each other in the long term. You know, you and I have become friends booking each other back and forth because we know it's going to be reciprocal. Yeah. Also because we both love DJing together and yeah, we play the same music and it's great. But, you know, it's meeting through those connections, and they're the ones that are going to stick with you and actually help your career long term, because you've not just been somebody in it for what you could get out of it.
Yeah, and there are lots of people that seem, I mean, especially like you've just said earlier with the whole Instagram side of things, there's lots of people that kind of feel that, you know, they have, it's their right to have a set because they've got this type of following, and therefore, you know, they're going to be better than anyone else, and you should book them, and you should do this, and you should do that. And those types of people, you know, I can guarantee their careers are short-lived.
Short-lived, exactly. Like, yeah, it'll be a bit of a flash in the pan, and it's one of those things, because I have done some lecturing at university. So I lecture in creative entrepreneurship on the music degree. Mm. And it's something very much that I've spoke to my students about. It's like, do you want to be famous for a short amount of time? Or do you want to have a career in the music industry? A career in the music industry is a 50, 60 year career. And yes, great if you find fame within that. Mm. But it's a, you know, there's a difference than just this, you're the biggest thing on the internet right now. That's not a career. That's short fame. And I think fair play to you if you manage to make that work for you. But I think if you want to see it as a bigger picture, it's thinking about all those other things just outside of the fact that you might be the current hottest thing. That's what's going to make people want to buy into you as a person, not just what you're currently selling.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, and it's about setting up that network, and these people that just have the fame instantly, that, you know, they need to remember that there'll be somebody else next week and somebody else a week after. And then what are you going to do during those weeks to keep yourself in the game? You know, you can't, it's not all high, is it? It's high, low, 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 nothing, high, maybe, you know, it's kind of how it
works. Exactly. I mean, it's like with me, like I always say, I'm that person on the third line of every festival lineup that most people haven't ever heard of, but people in the industry have heard of me because of those other things, because they know I can stage manage and I'll be reliable. And I could play an afternoon set or a headline set and all those things. And it's about, it's like just what you bring to the table. Mm. I think one of the things I've been quite grateful for actually is that it was a long, slow burn, me getting to where I was. And I started DJing when I was 22, as Little Joe. I reinvented myself as Madame Electrophy when I was 30, I think. No, maybe like 29. Mm. And then when things kind of blew up a bit bigger. But I was actually quite grateful that I didn't play as bigger places and stuff when I was 22, because I probably would have been a bit of a knobhead, if I'm honest, because I'm just a 22-year-old, like, who doesn't, you know, who like we just say, you know, you don't know the industry, you don't know how to be respectful, you don't know how to do all those things. And I think that's really important to learn your craft and to actually be like, watch, you know, have mentors, have people that follow you and learn how the whole industry works, rather than just getting in people's faces as the young next hot thing.
Yeah. Which is what we all did.
Yeah.
Give me a set. Any chance I can have a set the next time?
Give me a set. Yeah.
Give me a set.
Sarah, my CD.
Yeah, eventually they say yes, don't they? And they're like, fucking hell, like, good God.
Shut up. Yeah.
I look back now, and if only I'd have been like, well, I mean, you can't go backwards, always forwards, but, and it takes a lot of bollocks to go and ask for something and to be denied and to be turned away.
Yeah.
but it's very important, I think, these days, especially the way the music industry is. And it's not, you know, we've got the whole social media side of things now and the whole business aspect and everything else that you need to have your fingers, well, sorry, every other pies that you need to have your fingers in. And having a mentor, I think, is absolutely key in this day and age, whether it be a business mentor, a music mentor, one that does both, a wellness mentor, yeah, or something that can just help you focus and align yourself on the path that you want to be in.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the value also of like a peer-to-peer network, you know, like what you've done with Good Vibes Only, there's a peer-to-peer network as well. And I know you and I have talked about this a lot because we're, you know, we're the same age. We've been playing for, you know, a similar amount of time. We've both done the same thing. So just having a sounding board and somebody that you can share those experiences with who might think about things a bit differently from you, just that connection of having a peer or a mentor to be able to share experiences with and just give you that little guidance or that little nudge, I think that's really important. And I think again, going back to the social media thing, I think there's this facade that everybody's self-made. Nobody's self-made. You know, you don't need to be self-made. Join collectives, make friends with people, be part of a community, and you will be stronger for it. And I think, again, you know, a lot of that is just this kind of false idea that it's just individuals doing things, because, you know, collaboration just makes everything better for everybody. You know, it's this collaboration is the spice of life, I think. So yeah, that would definitely be a big piece of advice is to find mentors or peers or a network of people who've got your back and in return you've got theirs, because when those highs and lows that we just talked about, when those lows come, you're going to need those people behind you. And when you're there going, I haven't sold any tickets again to whatever event, you know, they're going to be the ones that go flying with you, or it used to be in the olden days anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important to bring, if you bring positive energy and hard work to the table, then the right people will get that vibe and they will reciprocate. And that has got to be the ultimate thing, I think, you can think about having a career in this industry.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, the whole networking side of things, like, you know, obviously we connected, you came and spoke in London at one of the Good Vibes Only events I did, the seminars. And as I was introducing everybody, the first thing I said to the women that had come to the event was, do not leave without the contact details of everybody in this room. You know, go around and speak to everybody in this room and find out, you know, what they're up to. And off the back of it, I think quite a few, one girl got a radio show, another girl got another gig somewhere else. You came to France, Sia was there. Like, it was a real kind of connecting vibe. And it's important, just, you know, it's not for everybody, like putting yourself out there and saying hi, but if you want to make it in this industry, you have to network and be nice and reciprocate. Yeah. Like, bring stuff to the table, like you said. Don't just not all take. It's got to be give.
Yeah, definitely. There's got to be elements of both. And I think what the great thing about that is, when you do start building those networks with people, is that you realise, you know, you judge, especially, you know, younger women coming through, you know, judging themselves by these ridiculous standards. And even just to hear that somebody else is having the same struggle as you, or somebody else has found something difficult, and that we all project this blanket of success because that's the way social media has conditioned us to be. And just to be like, oh, actually, do you know what? I'm doing all right because I've got other people who've had this shared experience. And I think it just helps humanize the industry a little bit more. And I think that's something that's incredibly important, you know, and especially, you know, like now when we've lost those real world connections as well, I think, you know, having a collective and a team of people to lean on is really, really important.
And there's lots of collectives out there as well. I'm in quite a few of the Facebook groups for Hospital Records, Women in Drum and Bass, Equalized Music, 2%.
Yeah, 2%.
Yeah, can't think of any others. Good Vibes Only.
Yeah, obviously.
But there's lots of them cropping up as well, and everybody is so friendly. I've had some great messages, like private messages from women, like either looking at the retreat or the podcast or other stuff that I've posted, and it's a real nice place to be, basically, isn't it? It's a nice little like supporting female family. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. I think there is this element of it sounds really cliched, but of sistership, you know, and I think that's what's quite different. This whole idea that, you know, women are going to be in competition with each other. I don't even know how that became part of popular culture, because we're not, you know, like I've, you know, there's not a, well, she's doing this and she's doing that. That just, I've never experienced that in, you know, 20 years nearly of working in the music industry. I think, you know, it's about providing safe spaces, providing support, and lifting each other up. And I think I've seen so much more than that. And the people who have perhaps said, oh, you know, oh, is it competitive? I don't, probably men, it's I think it's a false projection that's put on to women in the music industry that somehow we're all going to be competitive with each other instead, but we're not. It's like, wait, go on, mate, do your thing.
I think, you know, there's enough work out there, be it as a producer, as a stage manager, as a DJ, as whatever within the industry. There is enough for everyone. So
yes, the part of success is infinite. Somebody else being successful doesn't take away the amount of success that's left, you know, like, so celebrate their success. Yours is still there, so it's fine.
And you know, everybody's successful in their own little way. I think, I mean, the competitive side of music, I think, is very much male dominated. It's very much, you know, this is our platform. In some instances, not all of them, of course, but women empowering other women. We are so much stronger together. And even a woman and a man, anybody that's on the same fucking vibe, is a much stronger unit than somebody who's trying to compete against other people. It's a bad stench, isn't it?
And you're right, it's not even about gender really at all. As you know, we've had it that, I mean, I live in Northampton in England, and I've ran club nights here for 15 years, and then one of the people who are now like two of my bestest friends, they have run a club night in Northampton for that same amount of time as well. So when we launched our club night, you know, it wasn't like, right, we're going head to head. We reached out and we connected. And then, like, we ended up being bridesmaid at my wedding. But it meant we went out flying together for my night and her night. They were on different weekends. But it was like, well, we've both got to go out flying anyway, so let's just pull together. Mm. And then as a result, both of our club nights did better because it was like fortnightly. It was our night, then 2 weeks later their night, then 2 weeks later our night. Mm. And so by collaborating in that way, we all got stronger for it. So it doesn't even have to be a, you know, women collective thing or anything else. I just think it's about having a tribe and having people who share your vision and can also, you know, be there when times get hard or things get shit, which they can in the music industry. It's not always smooth sailing. We all know this. So
we're pretty hard at the moment, hey?
just a bit. I said to my cactus over here, like, hey, mate, do you want to hear some tunes?
It's just, well, what a year last year was, and this year, well, are we surprised? Not really.
No, not really. It was yesterday. It was a year ago. Yesterday was my last gig. So it's been officially 12 months.
I wasn't too bad because we still had a summer here where things were open, but people had to sit down and wear a mask because COVID doesn't know you're sitting down. so I did, my last gig was the last week in August. So I'm pretty much rolling all about 6 months now out of work, which is just like crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. But hopefully, fingers crossed for summer. I don't know whether there'll be festivals in the UK or...
Oh, I'm not sure. I think small stuff where you can kind of keep a bit, like, you know, 500 capacity tops, that kind of thing, will be cool. I think there'll be some nice kind of big outdoor seated things again. Okay. I don't think there'll be any of the majors.
No.
Yeah. I can't see how you can go from where we are now in February, where we're still technically not really supposed to even leave the house, to a festival in a few months' time.
Yeah.
I think it's quite, I mean, it's shit, it's terrible, of course it is, but like from a cultural perspective, I find it quite easy, quite interesting to see how it's going to adapt, how actually now you can't put on these big shows, will it change the intimacy of how you engage with audiences? Will it just, I don't know, there's lots of kind of like anthropological thinkings that come into my head that I find just interesting, like from just an intellectual point of view, even though it does mean that it's really bad for the industry. I think it's interesting to see how people are engaging with music in a different way like we've been saying about Twitch and all these different kind of new ways of experiencing music. I think it's really, I definitely want the industry to open back up.
Yeah.
But it's also just interesting to see how we've adapted in terms of how we interact with art and culture and music generally.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting, actually. I was speaking to a friend of mine back home in Bedford. Whoop, shouts to Huckle. And she was saying she follows Sassy B. Oh, you probably
yes.
Select radio show. Another friend of mine from Bedford. Whoop, whoop, holla. And she was like, yeah, we tune in at the same time every week to her show. We love it. It's a highlight of our week. You know, we get the gins in and, like, it's cool. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, because, you know, obviously before COVID, although internet radio was a thing, as in FM radio as well, it wasn't something that people would focus on, because they obviously would be going out to the pub, or they'd be going out to a party
yeah.
or doing stuff instead. Whereas now it's just like completely changed how she views that kind of side of
yeah.
it, that platform. So it's interesting. I mean, you've got a really good, you've just started up with a whole Twitching. You're twitchy.
You're twitching,
mate.
It's changed my life. Honestly, like, I can't say how much it's changed my life. And I think it's that interesting thing you were saying before about, like, radio and, or you put up a mix or anything else like that. That's like broadcast content. You are just broadcasting that content out, and it just goes to people and they listen to it however they want. But obviously the Twitch thing, because of the way the platform was designed, obviously for gamers with the interactivity, you are actually sharing an experience with the other people. I mean, I was really late to the Twitch game because I had a bad back last year, so I couldn't mix for 6 months. So probably a good job I was locked down. I wouldn't have been able to work for the whole time anyway. So I've only really started Twitching around Christmas time, but already there is a community on there. There's the Global Funk Fam, which is who I recommend everybody go and check out. There's probably about 20 DJs from all over the world that are part of Global Funk Fam. Mm-hmm. And the community that's on there is insane. I've never felt so welcome in my life anywhere. Like, they're all, and because you've got the chat room and you've got everybody in there, it is interactive. You are sharing an experience. So you play a record and somebody would be like, oh my God, this is a banger. What is it? And then you can talk to them. And so you're effectively your host in a chat room whilst playing records to your mates. So you've got that, like, really nice interactivity. And then, like, what's so sweet, so you could do, there's a lot of gamification involved in it as well, which is a lot for you to get your head around. But once you do get your head around it, it's really good. So you can subscribe to people, and then you can also throw bits, which is basically like tips. So you buy bits, and if you think a DJ is doing something good, you can throw tips at them, and they're actually monetizing their channels. You know, you get money in your pocket as a DJ. So that's a great way to replace some lost earnings. But what was so sweet about the community on there, I was doing a show the other day, and I was playing on my controller. Yeah. And, you know, on the Pioneer controller, you've got deck one, deck two. The buttons are so close to each other. So I hit the wrong one, stopped the music dead. And I was like, oh, bollocks, stop the music. And would have been mortified, but everybody in the chat room just started throwing tips at me, just like, hey. And it just went from me being like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed, I literally just stopped the record in the middle of my set, to just doing this cutest thing, because everybody was just like, don't worry about it, mate, like, you're in your house, it's fine, like, you know, people make mistakes. And it just, it, that sense of community is transformed my mental health, because I could just mix at home, but it's not the same as sharing. That's why I love DJing. I find music, I want to share it with people, and I want them to react to it. And seeing that reaction of when somebody does something, somebody really loves a tune you've picked, that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's when you're like, yeah. So yeah, I can't bang on about Twitch enough. It's a game changer, just for my mental health.
Yeah.
And just sharing music with people again, albeit over the internet.
Yeah, so, like what you were saying before we started the podcast, is that, you know, you got your normal job, which is amazing, your company doing really well, but the one thing that is missing is the getting out there and being the you and the, you know, the creator of chaos.
I mean, literally, that should be my strap line. That's like, yeah. career around just turning up and creating chaos in places. And probably so much chaos that my poor husband can handle before he's go mad.
What I was doing when I was playing this this summer out at the Tromplin, and everyone has to sit down. I was like, oh, are they still going to book me? Because I'm not really that type of DJ that keeps people seated.
It's like the anti-Eliza. It's just like, you want me to do what now? Keep people sitting down. Like, what?
Okay, so now I'm a lounge DJ.
Some laid-back jazz vibes.
Yeah, vibes. So
bear in mind, mate, that like last time I came over and played Trembling with you, we had people like
table-dive
and were like crowd surfing.
Honestly, it was one of the funniest gigs I've ever done. And the bar staff, because it just went off, didn't it, me and you? It was just wicked. It was really good. It was a great après-ski vibe. I think it just snowed. People were in fancy dress. Me and you were playing. We all got the same dance moves. I've met you once before. We'd never played together before. Smashed out a back-to-back set. Same dance moves. It was like we were the same person. And
but it was ridiculous.
I was just like, I need to play with you more. But the crowd just went mad. And then people started like jumping off the tables and crowd surfing. The bar staff were just looking at me like, what the fuck? Brilliant. They were like, yeah, book her. Anytime she wants to come back over, we'll book her again. I was like, yeah. Then COVID hit.
Oh, mate, amazing. Thank you. Well, I can't imagine what it's like for you to go from that. I mean, that's your home. You're a resident there. You know, that's what you bring those vibes to that place. And so I'm interviewing you back now. So I'm just like, how did it feel like having to go into a place which was all about those party vibes and twist it round? How did you find that?
Yeah, I found it really weird, but not super. I just kind of did what I would normally do, but tried to make sure that people didn't get up and dance, which is a bit strange. So then when people did dance, I had to politely kind of say, go sit down, but carry on dancing. You can dance, obviously, you're allowed to dance by your table or sitting down at your table, but you're not allowed to dance 2 meters.
You're allowed to do some finger dancing.
Yeah, finger dancing. But yeah, it was really strange. But to be honest, mate, I was just absolutely hyped to have some work because no one knew. Yeah. I mean, a lot of other venues closed. A lot of them didn't book DJs for that particular reason, is that they didn't want that vibe, or they didn't, you know, want to kind of, you know, spread COVID. However, you know, the trampoline's outside. It's got some really cool, like, it's got like umbrellas in the summer, like as if you're on a beach. It's really, really funky. And they were like, well, that's not what we're about. That's not why people come to us. They come to us because they still want to see live music. You know, we still want to carry on supporting me, thank God, and other local artists, because, you know, they know it's really important to me to work, like it is for everybody. We've all got bills
but
it's very strange. I mean, I feel like this summer's probably gonna be exactly the same here, fingers crossed, and then we'll just have to see whether next winter opens. I mean, who knew they would cancel the whole of the winter season and close the ski lifts? Did not see that coming.
No, I didn't. I thought we'd be open up a bit by now, because, you know, again, we were talking about this, you know, before we came on, but it's just, you know, it's just the revenue that's being lost out of that industry is just insane. You know, it's just like
the jobs. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's just unreal the amount of people that have lost work. I mean, I know that's the pandemic anyway, but I think one of tourism is one of France's largest, like, money-making industries, and to shut the whole of the, like, basically shut the French Alps. Sorry, we're not open. We're having some time off. What?
Yeah.
Today? What?
But, well, at least they did it. Yeah, so I guess, you know, crazy, but, like, yeah. Better than us just being like, our government just puts their fingers in the ears and goes, la, 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 la. No, we're not going to do anything about it, sorry. La, la, la. Which is why we're still fully locked down a year later.
Oh, mate. Well,
not side rail this podcast.
So honestly, if I do a podcast and then finally we're out of lockdown, it's gonna be brilliant. Like, the whole podcast has been in lockdown. So when are you twitching?
So I twitch twice a week, so I try and keep it on a regular schedule. That's what they say is good for, because then your audience does always know when to find you. That's some of the advice I've been given. So I do Thursdays 7 till like 8:30, 9-ish.
Yeah.
Which is good for me because I still do work 9 to 5 as well, like just from my home. But it's good because, you know, Friday I can kind of have a black day at work a little bit. So I shouldn't say that. All my team are going to be listening to this like, what? We're allowed a black day on a Friday? What?
But you are the boss. You're the boss.
Yeah, I am the boss. So yeah, so it's allowed. Yeah, so Thursdays I do 7 till 9. And then my actual favourite thing I do is it's Saturday morning twitching.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously from Saturday Morning Kitchen, you know, with the show where they used to make the omelettes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and that starts at 11:30 Saturday morning and that runs till 2.
Yeah.
That's my favourite because literally I start, you know, real chilled hip hop. And then it's just Saturday morning vibes. Get up, have some breakfast, do your housework, you know, just potter around.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy going from that like mellow journey kind of up over 2.5 hours. Just play some like just happy music, like jazz, hip hop, funk. That's just gone a bit mental. I'm on like week 6 now, and I'm getting regularly like 50 to 80 viewers every week now, which I'm really, wow, I'm really happy with. Pretty good.
Yeah, that's
really cool. And the chat and interaction thing, the same people come every week now. Yeah. And they're all like, I've got this one girl, Eliza with an A.
What?
She's in Melbourne and she tunes in every show I do. And she's literally there. She's like, on my Thursday night one, she's like, well, yeah, morning, it's 5:45 a.m. in Australia. And I'm like, you're mad. She's just like, well, if you're up and you're like, what a legend. Like, I just played to this one girl. Like, she's an absolute legend. Like, you're brilliant.
Shouts out for Eliza. Yeah, Eliza A.
Yeah. It's the Eliza cruise. But I mean, that's what I mean. We're saying about the Twitch community thing. You just make friends with all these wicked people who are just into the same vibe as you. And it's just like, you're ace. Like, yeah, like, I think we're going to have to definitely organise some like tours. Yeah, to go visit all the Twitch fam once we're allowed.
Yeah, Australia, great. I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. I was just a bit like, so about those 2 fans I've got in Australia. That's going to talk us.
When we were on that panel at Shindig, weren't we? The BBC introducing panel with the Too Many Teas guys, and they organised a tour based on. They're fans, didn't they? They were like, it was them, wasn't it? They were like, okay, well, a fan contacted them saying, oh, I live such and such, will you come here? And they're like, yeah, right. All right, cool. And then from there, they went to like different fans.
Yeah, and they just bounced around. Yeah, because they're self-funded. Like, well, so, you know, self kind of organised it all. And yeah, which is the way to do it, isn't it? It's just like.
Well, no one's going to do it for us, are they? So.
Yeah, that's it. You just need that one fan in Melbourne. World tour. Off we go.
Let's go. Next year. Melbourne here.
I'll tell you, mate. Be part of our 40th birthday grand tour, world tour. So, you know.
100%. All right, let's start planning now.
Yeah, get the crowdfunder going, mate. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, with any luck, mum and dad might put some money in. That's 3 people, and we've got Eliza, so that's 4 people.
Yeah, we've got Eliza over in Melbourne. She's gonna hook us up, so yeah.
Very funny. Oh, dude. So how can the world get in contact with you then? What's your handles?
So the way you get in contact with me is, so it's Madame Electrophee, and that's also been quite interesting seeing people on Twitch trying to pronounce it. So it's Electrophee, E-L, hang on, I can't even spell it myself. I have to write things down before.
Hang on, I've got it here. It's E-L-E-C. Hang on, yeah. So yeah, Madame Electrophee, MadameElectrophee. I feel like I'm in a spelling contest.
I know. Well, the thing is, it's been my name for ages, but I'm one of those people that I can't, like, I have to write words down sometimes, otherwise my brain can't remember how to spell.
Well, I'll put all of your links in the show notes. Let's just say
There you go. So, yeah, madam-electrophee.com or just Facebook/madameElectrophee, SoundCloud, madameElectrophee. But if you just go to the website, madam-electrophee.com, that's got links to everything. So that's got all my socials on there. You've also got the back catalogue of all my radio shows. So there's about 40 hours of radio shows to go back through. I'm also, my radio show starts back up again. Which date is that? So that's next. I don't know what date this podcast is going out, but my radio shows are going to be the last Friday of the month on Data Transmission Radio.
So okay, back on Data Transmission. Awesome. Back up and running. Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
It's Thursday. Thursdays for twitching, Saturday mornings for twitching.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Well, mate, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been epic to chat to you, as always.
Oh, mate, thank you so much. It's just so lovely to catch up with you properly again as well. And I really appreciate you inviting me on. You've had some amazing people on this. Like, well done for, like, creating such a good series, because, like, yeah, it's been really good. It's been the kind of content people have needed, I think. So, like, aww. Yeah, probably sorting it all out.
Mate, thank you. Thank you. We'll catch up again soon.
You can't see because it's podcast, but I can see that she's blushing now. So,
yeah. Yeah, I am. A little bit red. I just did a little
But yeah, thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, looking forward to that world tour next year.
Here we come. You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love and good vibes always. See you next week.